The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with a Super Bowl stunner and a sensational seven for the greatest ever to do it. Tom Brady gets it done, while Mr. Mahomes does not. How did this D dominate Super Bowl 55 against the highest flying offense in the league? We've got the game plan. And then, oh, by the way, this Eagle is on the verge of flying out of Philly, like real soon. Shefty has all the details as we get up with you on this Super Bowl Monday, starting right now. And we welcome you to this Monday edition of Get Up, presented by Indeed. I am Greeny in New York, and I am delighted that you have gotten up with us coming off of a stunning Super Bowl night. And look at the squad that we have put together to talk about it this morning. Neek is here. Dan Orlovsky is here. Shefty might break a trade while we're talking. And Ryan Clark is ready to roll. Pat McAfee will join us this morning as well. Let's take you to the sights, the sounds, the scene of Super Bowl 55 last night, Raymond James Stadium. And the stage was set for the two legendary quarterbacks with all the pomp and circumstance that you would expect as we got this thing rolling. Brady in number 10. Mahomes looking to win his second. But Ryan Clark, this was the story of the night. Patrick Mahomes running for his life.
This was about Todd Bowles. That was the TB that was important, but this ball gets through. Tyreek Hill should have made this catch.
Yeah, that's right. Mahomes had a lot of moments last night that perhaps he could have been helped a bit. Meantime, after a couple of early stalls, it was Brady finally finding some rhythm here with Cam Brighton, 15 yards and a first down, and the Buccaneers get the ball moving, and then ultimately, oh my goodness, RC, he's got his old buddy Gronk.
This drive started with three great runs by Leonard Fournette, and the play-action pass pushed the ball in the end zone.
Brady's first ever Super Bowl touchdown in the first quarter, so it's 7-3. Then this incredibly important sequence. On a second down and goal, they try for the fat guy touchdown, and they don't get it, which sets up a third down. Ronald Jones is stuffed. RC, they decide to go for it on the fourth down, which is the right call, and they get stuffed again. How about the defense?
Listen, at this point, I'm saying this is it. This is the play that Kansas City needs. This is going to turn the game around. 99 yards for Patrick Mahomes on the next drive.
Absolutely. Look at that effort. We all thought that. Every single person thought that's going to shift the entire momentum of the game, but it does not. More defense. After one quick first down, there's a drop from Travis Kelce, and the Chiefs just were not in sync. Now, back come the Buccaneers. Here's a huge moment in the game, RC. It's a tip, it's a pick, but it's coming back on defensive holding.
This feels like the AFC Championship all over again. You get a tip pick, but it's a defensive holding or a defensive penalty. You can't give Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers extra chances.
Officiating a big part of the story in the first half last night, the Chiefs didn't like it. Meanwhile, Brady likes this. Finding Gronk again for the touchdown. And then how about the drawing afterwards? RC, look at Brady and Tyrann Mathieu. They're going at it. Well,
that's just two competitors. That's two competitors wanting to win the game, going at each other. And we saw this happen all night.
Now, a huge moment here at the end of the first half. Kansas City using timeouts to try and get the ball back, and it backfires. Tampa gets a first down, and then they get this. Is this a good call on the defensive interference?
Listen, I think it's a bad call. I feel like that ball was uncatchable, but you got to make the calls if you make them in a regular season football game.
And then that would continue. There's another pass interference in the end zone. This one on Mathieu. The Chiefs 95 penalty yards in the first half, most in a half in Super Bowl history. And that would lead to this with 6 seconds left. Tom Brady to Antonio Brown, 21-6 at halftime. And Brady and Mathieu still going at it. Brady chasing the Honey Badger down the field as that thing would get going. Now, first drive of the second half for Tampa. More of the same. First, it's Gronk work in the middle of the field. And there's Tyrann Mathieu, RC. Clearly, Mathieu thinks he has help, and he's mistaken.
Well, listen, Tom Brady said he was going to go at him all game. He seemed to find 32 and make sure he threw the football to the guy he was supposed to be on.
And then this happened. Leonard Fournette just bursting through the defense, and you're thinking to yourself, holy smoke, Mahomes is in trouble, 28-9. And that trouble was spelled S-H-A-Q. Shaq Barrett all over him. The Buccaneers bringing the pressure all night long. Here's a 3rd and 14, and RC, it's going to get to them again. We're going to have another tip and another pick.
This is a great play by Edwards coming around Tyreek Hill, and Antoine Winfield Jr. is a magnet to the ball. He's a guy much like 32 for the Kansas City Chiefs. That dude's a star.
The Bucs tack on a field goal. It's 31-9. Now on a 4th down play, the Chiefs have to go for it here early in the 4th quarter. And this is a perfect illustration of what the game was like for Patrick Mahomes, RC. What's he supposed to do? He almost pulls this off.
Hey, listen, this is what Michael Jordan felt like playing with Bugs Bunny and the rest of the crew on Space Jam. How is he going to beat the Monstars when Darryl Williams and the rest of the guys are doing this?
He throws that ball parallel to the ground. It had a chance. Now 5 minutes left. It's Mahomes again. Look at the hit he's going to take here.
Listen, he was under siege all night. This play is just a microcosm of what the entire game was.
He was pressured 29 times last night. Most pressures on any quarterback in Super Bowl history. Now on a 4th down play again, it's Mahomes just running for his life. Ultimately, this is going to fall incomplete. Antoine Winfield going to get flagged for taunting here for throwing up the deuces, RC. What do you think?
So you mean to tell me you can throw up the deuces, you can backflip, you can backpedal to the end zone, but I clamp you all day and I get a penalty? Heck no, man.
I'm with you. The good news is it didn't have any impact on the outcome. This is the one that seals it. Devin White with the interception in the final 2 minutes, and it's over. Tom Brady wins his 7th Super Bowl. For Patrick Mahomes, there'll have to be better days. For Bruce Arians, the oldest head coach ever to win the Super Bowl, the celebration was very much on. A very tough night capping off a tough week for Andy Greene. But it's Arians, it's Brady, it's Gronk. It's a celebration in Tampa, in their home stadium. The Bucs win Super Bowl 55, and Brady is the MVP.
It's been an amazing year. Amazing year. We got to a good start, 7-2, and then had a little rough stretch where we kind of found our identity and played a lot better football down last December, January, and just really proud of all the guys, proud of all the coaches, the effort we put in. We knew we were playing a great football team tonight, and we got the job done. So you want to get this far, you got to get the job done, and we did it.
His leadership is off the charts, and he's a winner, man, and that's all you can say. He brought a winning mentality to a really talented football team that didn't know how to win.
He's the GOAT. He is the greatest football player to ever play, you know, and I can tell my kids I play with that man, and I'm just blessed.
Well, it's kind of hard to argue anything other than Tom Brady is the GOAT. You see it on your screen. He now has more Super Bowls than any franchise in the entire National Football League. And bear in mind, during this past offseason, he signed with a team that hadn't been in the playoffs in 13 years and hadn't won a playoff game since a Super Bowl that was played in January of 2003. That is what Tom Brady did. So again, here's the crew as we have Neek here, RC, of course, Dan Orlovsky, and Shefty is ready to go. And Ryan, I just want to start with you again because you said it in the meeting this morning. What do we say of Tom Brady this morning and what he means to the NFL?
The GOAT conversation is over. The GOAT conversation is settled. In my mind right now, I'm seeing Vince Carter after he dunked the ball in his dunk contest and he goes, it's over, because that's it. He's put it so far that he's put it so far away from anyone even challenging what he can do with this win. Let's think about what Tom Brady had to do to win this Super Bowl, right? He's playing through a pandemic. He has no offseason. Some of his biggest targets and some of his biggest skill players are guys that came over with him throughout the offseason, even through the season with Antonio Brown. And you're asking him to learn a new offense, find a new place, be a leader in a new locker room. And Tom Brady does all of those things. And not only does he just get to the Super Bowl, but he plays extremely well. Tom Brady was not carried to the Lombardi Trophy. It was actually the other way. You think about Leonard Fournette, Rob Gronkowski, Antonio Brown, all of these people who were huge in this game, they aren't Tampa Bay Buccaneers if general manager Tom Brady doesn't get them there. They all came to play with the GOAT. Like Leonard Fournette said, I am going to tell my kids I played with Tom Brady. I'm not going to tell my kids I won a Lombardi. I'm not going to tell my kids I won a Super Bowl. I'm not going to tell my kids I scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl game. You know what I'm going to tell them? That Tom Brady was my teammate. That's his effect. That's who he is. He's the greatest organization of all time.
Yeah, you said it as a joke a few weeks ago, but now it doesn't feel like such a joke. He's the Super Bowl MVP and maybe the executive of the year. Dominique, what do we say about what this means for his legacy, for his place in the sport, for his place in the history of American sports?
I mean, I think that him beating Patrick Mahomes was something important and something special because just a week ago, I think RC and I were on here talking about maybe Patrick Mahomes can catch Tom Brady in this with fewer than six Super Bowls. Now you can't because you beat him in this game, in this moment. Now, I know it's a team game, but once we get further away from this, that's not how we're going to view this. We're going to view this as a significant moment, and not only did he beat Patrick Mahomes, he made so many of us look stupid because I was drunk on Patrick Mahomes. We all were drunk on Patrick Mahomes. We're like, hey, D-line, Smee-line. It don't matter. Patrick Mahomes is going to figure it out. But no, Patrick Mahomes was not the special guy in this game. It was Tom Brady. And to RC's point, Tom Brady, none of this happens without Tom Brady. The first person the owner of the franchise thanked was Tom Brady. He said he brought it down here. He taught us how to do it. He didn't thank his mom. He didn't thank his family. He didn't thank his coach. He said, you know what? Tom Brady came down here and showed us how to do it. Let's follow that man.
And so, Dan Orlovsky, let's talk about the play because so much talk about the leadership, so much talk about what he means to the franchise and to the history of the league. But the reality is, as RC said, he didn't get carried to a championship here. How about the way he actually played on the field all year and last night?
Yeah, Greeny, it's the greatest run, Super Bowl run, a quarterback has ever gone on. I mean, he just went through three of the all-time greats at the position. Three guys that will be Hall of Famers. Two of them on the road, right, with Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers, and then knocked off the king of football right now in Patrick Mahomes. So for Tom Brady, it's the greatest Super Bowl run a quarterback has ever been on. I think this is, why it's been so impressive is the quarterback position, there's no position like it in football, in sports, that is more impactful. It's the most impactful position in sports. You impact so many pieces around you. Yet it's also the position that's most dependent on those around them in sports. And for him to be so trusting of those guys is so impressive. I mean, Tom Brady was said that he's too old. His arm wasn't strong enough. He had fallen off the cliff. Couldn't get it done without Bill. I mean, how's that looking today? You know, and I think that we've labeled him the greatest of a lot of different things. I think he's the greatest believer in that I've ever witnessed. RC labeled off Fournette and AB and Gronk. Those two of those three guys were cast off. Two of those three guys, and some of it because their own work, but two of those three guys no one believed in but Tom multiple times. They had huge impact in that football game last night. Tom Brady is the greatest team sports winner in the history of team sports.
And Shefty, I saw your tweet last night going all the way back to the beginning of this, that when Tom Brady decided to leave New England, there were really only two teams that went after him. For those who didn't see it, pick up on that thought, Shefty.
Well, first of all, Dan saying he's the greatest player in sports and the quarterback is the most impactful position. So if we're going to take what he said and apply it to last offseason, all I could think about as I'm watching the game last night is when he became a free agent, there were teams that thought about making a move with Tom Brady, but in the end, ultimately, when he became a free agent in mid-March, there were two teams that seriously pursued him. The Los Angeles Chargers and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So there were 30 other teams that thought they had a better quarterback solution than going out and getting the greatest player in NFL history at the most impactful position, a man capable of changing your entire culture. How could 30 teams take a look at a guy where you didn't even have to trade any picks to New England? You didn't have to give up any compensation. All you had to do was hand your program to him. And there were two teams that wanted to do that. Two, okay? The rest looked past him. They all thought he was too old. They all thought he looked washed up in New England in his last season there. They all thought he wouldn't be able to do it at the age of 43. And once again, I think one of the things that drives Tom Brady is proving people wrong. And now it's proving people wrong at the age that he's doing it at.
He's the first player to win Super Bowl MVP for two different teams. I have a sheet of things that he has done now that would take me the rest of the show to read them all. But let's then get down to the next order of business, because TB12 is the story. But that's not why the Buccaneers won the game. They won it because of the other TB's 11. Todd Bowles, the defensive coordinator, and the guys who played defense for the Buccaneers last night dominated Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. Listen.
They beat us pretty good. The worst I think I've been beaten in a long time.
We knew they wasn't physical enough. You know, they real gimmicky on offense, and man, we don't play like that, man. We like smash mouth football. We like coming downhill, getting in them trenches. That's what we built off. That's why we're the number one rush defense in the league. And that's why on the back end we strapped up, man. So we knew we wanted to blow them out. We knew whatever we gave them in that first game, it was because they got because we gave them. And Ty Bowles weren't letting that happen this game.
They kind of took away our deep stuff. They took away the sidelines, and they did a good job of rallying to the football and making tackles. We weren't executing early. I had a few miscues. We weren't on the same page. But I mean, credit to them, man. They played a heck of a game defensively and offensively and beat us.
They most certainly did. So Dan Orlovsky, I'll start with you from a quarterback's perspective. There's so much there. I see the look on your face, RC, and I agree. But Dan, I'll start with you from a quarterback's perspective. What happened? What happened last night to what we thought was as good an offense as we'd ever seen?
Yeah, it's the first time I've ever seen Patrick Mahomes look human. And that's because it was the most one-sided line of scrimmage Super Bowl I've ever seen. You know, this was about the quarterback having to play faster than he wanted to. This was about the offense having to play faster than the play was set up for it to be. And that's because this defensive line was absolutely dominant and the coverage matched it. And as a quarterback, when you have to play faster than you want to, or you have to play faster than, like, everyone's saying, well, why isn't Patrick Mahomes getting the ball out? Because the receivers are like 3 yards downfield. The play hasn't developed yet, you know? And so this was about Todd Bowles realizing he didn't have to get too creative, but he couldn't be lazy either. That was the most impressive thing from the defense was he knew his front four was going to be dominant, but he didn't just go, hey, guys, line up and go win the game. He moved guys around. He put Vita Vea at defensive end and Jason Pierre-Paul at tackle and rushed some of those weaknesses of the offensive line. But Patrick Mahomes looked human, and it was the first time I've ever seen it.
All right, Dominique, let's talk about this defense because we knew the Buccaneers had a good defense. We talked about them all year. That's a good defense, but they're not the 85 Bears. But the last three games, to a point Dan made earlier, they shut down Drew Brees. They made life miserable for Aaron Rodgers, and they dominated Patrick Mahomes. How did they do this?
Yeah, in those other two games, it was a lot of scheming, I think, by Todd Bowles. In this game, it didn't feel like as much scheming. They were playing some really heavy and deep coverages and zones. But what I was most impressed by was their D-line's ability to contain Patrick Mahomes and their secondary's ability to cover deep, because the Chiefs' offense is very well designed. But also, when plays break down, that's when they're at their most dangerous. When the plays broke down yesterday, it felt like the defensive line were still getting to Patrick Mahomes, not letting him have as much time as he wanted. And when he would throw it downfield, people would seem like they were open, but by the time the ball got there, there were two and three guys diving in front of the receiver. So it was a really impressive athletic performance and confident performance. 9 points for this offense. I couldn't have imagined that before that happened last night. It was not something that I thought was in the realm of possibility. I could see the Chiefs potentially losing, but 9 points and no touchdowns, that's not just Todd Bowles.
Right.
That's just the talent that they have out there.
RC, talk about it. What did they do? What did you see from that defense last night?
Remember we talked about this last week, though, when I was talking about the rosters, and I said, listen, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a better roster, and it was mostly because of the defense. We knew that top-heavy, the Kansas City Chiefs were top-heavy offensively with Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce, but I thought defensively that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were just so much better than the Kansas City Chiefs were. And when you listen to Devin White talk after the game, that's a dude who believes what he's saying. And remember, he mentioned Todd Bowles against the New Orleans Saints as well. This does not happen without that Week 12 matchup. If these teams don't see each other that week, if Todd Bowles isn't humbled a little bit, if this defense isn't a little upset about what happened that day, I don't think that Todd Bowles makes the changes that he made to play the cover two, to disguise more, to disguise the blitz and fall back into the zone, the way that they played the scramble drill. Those things don't happen if you don't see the Kansas City Chiefs one time before this. And when you think about Todd Bowles, when you think about the adjustments, one person you look at is Carlton Davis. Carlton Davis shadowed Tyreek Hill. They made Tyreek Hill a team problem, not a Carlton Davis problem. And once they did that, the entire game changed.
And super quick, Dan, and we'll have more time to talk about this. Go ahead, Dan. Finish up.
Yeah, hitting on RC. You know how many times Tyreek Hill was played one-on-one in coverage? Zero. The whole game. Now go back to week 12. We could wrap this game up simply like this, Greeny. When you own the line of scrimmage, you own the football game. And Tampa Bay owned both lines of scrimmage. Y'all remember like 6, 7, 8 weeks ago when Bruce Arians got up after a game and said, we can do whatever the heck we want to. And we all were like, you watch the same game as us? Right. They did whatever they wanted last night. And that's because they owned the line of scrimmage.
It's impossible to argue. I said it during the highlight. They pressured Mahomes last night more than any quarterback has ever been pressured in Super Bowl history. We wondered if their defensive line could wreck the game. They wrecked it on their way to a Super Bowl championship. We are just getting started on this Super Bowl Monday. Coming up, he's not only the greatest of all time. Find out why Brady may also be the executive of the year. We're talking about that. Plus, Adam Schefter has the insight into the next huge football trade. The Eagles deeply exploring moving Carson Wentz. Why, where, and when this deal may happen. All those are on the way as we continue to get up with you this morning, presented by Indeed. Indeed, we help people get jobs. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. You are watching Get Up, presented by Indeed. And in case you're wondering how the Orlovsky family celebrates Super Bowl Sunday, Dan, take us through what it is we're seeing here.
Greeny, I've just gotten off the Peloton, out of the shower. My wife was like, hey, let's play this game. The kids, it's Super Bowl Sunday. We got all these games to play. I'm like, sweet. She's like, you got to bounce the ping pong ball that I tossed you in the bucket. You got to get 5 to beat the kids. I'm like, sweet. I'm definitely going to do that. All of a sudden, I'm rolling. I'm like, I'm going to kick these kids' butt. And then whack. I'm going to get something on the top of my head. I can't see where we are in the video.
There it is.
But she egged me fresh out the shower.
She egged me. I'm going to use that sentence somewhere in the show a little later today. This is how Tom Brady talked Gronk out of retirement. How was that dynamic duo able to get it done last night? That's on the way. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
There's been a trade. Kansas City is now on the clock at 10.
The game plan for building a winner.
The Kansas City Chiefs select Patrick Mahomes.
Hire the right people.
Tom Brady is a Buccaneer.
who create the kind of team to accomplish the mission.
Holy guacamole! Rob Gronkowski's got two today! Touchdown Tampa Bay! Leonard Fournette takes it to the house! The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, underdogs at home. For the first time in NFL history hosting a Super Bowl, Tom Brady, you are the GOAT. Bucs win. Hoist that Lombardi.
Get Up is presented by Indeed. Indeed, we help people get jobs. During the first quarter last night, we saw Indeed's ad and heard their mission, we help people get jobs. Then for the rest of the game, they took to Twitter to do exactly that. Check out hashtag NowHiring to see how they turned ads into job opportunities. All right, let's take you through some of the big moments from last night. Again, last night, Super Bowl 55 in Tampa. Tom Brady and the Buccaneers facing off the reigning champions and the heir to Brady's throne, Patrick Mahomes, and the Chiefs. But early on, it's Brady to an old familiar friend. That's Rob Gronkowski taking it in. Brady's first ever first quarter touchdown in the Super Bowl gave the Bucs a lead they would never relinquish. Middle of the second, Bucs are up by a score of 7-3, and they're looking for more. That's Brady, that's Gronk, that's another score. Brady and Tyrann Mathieu jawing at each other. The Bucs up 14-3. Now they're in the red zone looking to add more before halftime. Final seconds of the half. That is another pass interference penalty there. Penalties on the Chiefs were a huge part of the story, and that would lead to this. TB to AB with 6 seconds left for a TD. And as Mathieu and Brady would jaw back and forth, it was Tampa up 21-6 at the half. And then second half, it was more of the same. This is middle of the third quarter. This is Leonard Fournette. He came to Tampa looking for redemption and looking to play with the GOAT. And he got both of those, and he gets a Super Bowl touchdown and a 28-9. Ensuing Chiefs possession. Patrick Mahomes under siege all night long. Flings it. It's tipped. It's picked by Antoine Winfield. Bucs would tack on a field goal. It's 31-9. Mahomes struggling throughout. Fourth quarter, just take a look at this hit. And Ndamukong Suh. Oh, he egged him fresh out the shower. Mahomes, 56 dropbacks last night. Pressured on 29 of them. That is the most in Super Bowl history. And the Chiefs, desperation time. It's already over. But Devin White putting the exclamation point on the night with the interception for Tom Brady, his seventh Super Bowl. He's the MVP. Bruce Arians, the oldest head coach ever to win the Super Bowl at the age of 68. Tampa takes it 31-9 in an absolutely stunning turnaround and finish. And I say turnaround, these teams played each other week 12. Kansas City won the game and the Bucs looked like they were struggling. Then they went on a bye. And since then, those are the numbers you see on your screen. They're 8-0. Their offense went crazy. They put up over 400 yards per game. So they won it last night with their defense. But clearly, the way their offense, and look, Dan Orlovsky, we spent, it feels to me, like half our Mondays during this season complaining about Tampa Bay's offense. What did they do these last eight games that just completely turned it around?
Well, they realized who they aren't, and they realized who they are. You know, I said in October that if they kept Tom Brady clean, he could throw it as good as anybody in football still. And last night, that was the story. That six-man play-action pass that gave him time to be accurate as a passer. Watch Godwin go in motion. Once he goes in motion and that defensive back follows, well, Brady knows it's going to be single-high man coverage. Now we got to keep him clean. Gronk stays in. Play fake to the tailback. I want everyone to just see this pocket. He's 7 yards away from the closest defensive lineman. This is a picnic in the backfield. Receivers, go win one-on-one on the outside. That's easy work for Tom Brady and Antonio Brown. But then down in the red zone, I love Byron Leftwich's creativity of the RPO. Gronk is going to slice across the line of scrimmage. Sorensen has got him in man coverage. But keep your eye at the bottom of the screen on Mike Evans. His job, get Gronk open. Just get in the way of that trailing linebacker. Play fake, bad eyes by Sorensen, and now you're stuck behind Gronk. 70% of this pass game last night, this is from Hembo, 70% of their pass game was off play action pass. I watched the first three quarters again this morning. I counted two dropback passes from Tom Brady. They were the first two dropbacks of the game. After that, it was 6 and 7 man protection. We're going to keep number 12 clean and no one's going to get near him. And he's going to do whatever he wants with the football. And that was the case. And so I credit Byron Leftwich and BA because I was hard on them. The greatest thing they did was realize We aren't who we've been in the past, but we are this play-action passing football team. And if we keep Tom Brady upright, he'll do whatever he wants with the football.
You know, Dominique, how many times over the last 20 years have we said a Bill Belichick-coached New England Patriots team, he doesn't worry about what they look like in September. It's all about being at your best at the end. And we always gave all that credit to the coach. And I'm not taking anything away from Belichick. But, boy, this feels very similar, doesn't it? Like they took about 2 months to figure out what they needed to be. And then, Dominique, once they got it, they were unstoppable.
And also similar to that Patriots thing, I think Dan and I were talking about this morning, is that they change from week to week. And maybe they haven't changed from week to week this season, but they certainly changed from week to week in the playoffs. Their scheme offensively has been dynamic, and that was part of it. I think that the Chiefs came in expecting one thing, which is why they were comfortable playing man coverage and doing blitzing, and then got something completely different, something that the Bucs haven't been kind of majoring in all season, that they've increased as the season's gone along. So I think that was part of it, and that's a lot. We do get a lot of credit to coaches in normal circumstances, but in this circumstance, it feels like we're giving a lot of credit to Tom Brady, which he deserves, but also think Byron Leftwich is part of that, having faith in what they can do and understanding how to teach it in a way that guys can pick up very quickly.
RC, I also want to ask you this. The Kansas City Chiefs had 95 yards worth of defensive penalties in the first half. Now, the way the game winds up, it's kind of hard to say the officiating decided it, but there were certainly a lot of people complaining about it at the time, and we saw the Chiefs defenders were unhappy about it. What did you think of that? What did you think just in general about the impact that all of those penalties had on that defense last night?
I think they're huge. When you know, Tony Romo talked about it a little bit last night, the percentage of the opportunity to score, what it is when you have one penalty or when you have two penalties, a lot of times that leads to touchdowns or field goal attempts by the opposing offenses. And we saw that last night. But it was also the times and when they were called. Think about the pass interference on Ward or the illegal contact on Ward. That's an interception by Tyrann Mathieu. And then late in the second quarter, you get the call on Breshad Breeland, and then it's followed by a call on Tyrann Mathieu on the ball that looked uncatchable. And so when you have these sort of things happen, and Tampa Bay already has it rolling, and now those things lead to points, it turns into an insurmountable lead. And that's what we saw going into halftime for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes, it felt like that was a huge storyline at halftime last night. And then the way the game ends up, when Kansas City doesn't score a touchdown, it's hard to say that the defensive penalties are the reason that they lost, but they certainly didn't help. Okay, we are basically wall-to-wall Super Bowl this morning, but Shefty has got the huge news, so we need to get into this. It is a story we've talked about throughout this offseason, basically since Carson Wentz got benched, in fact. Perhaps we're getting closer to the solution. What is the future for Wentz? Shefty reporting over the weekend, there's a growing expectation that Wentz will be traded sooner rather than later. Now, let's get specifically to that. Adam Schefter with us all morning long here. Shefty, what can you tell us about the situation with Carson Wentz right now?
It looks like he's going to be traded here, Greeny, relatively soon. It depends on where the Eagles want to send him, what they are going to get back, but they've already gotten enough interest to make it seem right now like it's a foregone conclusion that he's going to be traded. And I think that once Matthew Stafford got traded to Los Angeles, I think that started the clock on Carson Wentz. And we saw Jared Goff involved in the Matthew Stafford deal. And we know that Carson Wentz was picked one pick after Jared Goff in the same draft. And so we could see the number one and number two picks from the same draft traded days apart ultimately. And I think Philadelphia, this is affirmation that basically didn't fire Doug Peterson strictly because of what he did with Carson Wentz or didn't do. They didn't hire Nick Sirianni, the new head coach, to fix Carson Wentz. They hired Nick Sirianni because they felt he was the best man to lead this team forward and help the quarterback, whoever that was, in this offense. But Carson Wentz talks have been heating up. They've been going on. There's enough interest from teams like the Bears, the Colts, others that have weighed in to make you think he's going to get traded here. And the question is, when do the Eagles finally make that decision, and what do they get back in return?
And the sense that we got from your Twitter over the weekend was that we expect it to be soon. Right? I mean, sooner than later, we're not talking about March, and the new league year. You're talking sooner than that.
No, I think there's a real chance it's going to be this week. And again, the Eagles are looking for what I was told is a quote-unquote Matthew Stafford package. Now, if we go back and look at that was a third-round pick this year, two future ones, and Jared Goff. So I know people hear the two ones, but those are two future ones, so they're not considered the value of a first-round pick this year, but there's still two ones in the future, and the Eagles are looking to get as much compensation back for a player that they traded up to go get, that they re-signed to a big contract. There'll be a big dead salary cap charge against their cap. But the Eagles have been planning for this. They're prepared for it, and they feel like they can do that moving forward.
Okay, and so, Dan, I see the look on your face, and for those who watch our show, you know, I mean, Dan has always believed in Carson Wentz, and that's cool. And I know that you still think he has a chance to recapture some of the magic. So tell me the place you want to see him. Where would you like to see Carson Wentz wind up that you believe would give him the best chance to become the player you think he can be?
The Indianapolis Colts. Far and away the best situation for both the team and Carson Wentz. You're talking about a team that, one, has a head coach and play caller that completely understands that position, both in the moment and the development of that position, how to get the best out of it on a consistent basis. A place that's got a very healthy offensive line situation, a place that's got really good pieces around the offensive line, skill player-wise, T.Y. Hilton, Michael Pittman Jr., you know, two good tight ends, young tailback, a really good defense. So it's Indy. But I'd say this, Greeny. Dude, three years ago, this place in Philadelphia won a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Both of the quarterbacks involved in it and the head coach are gone. That is mind-boggling to me.
It is. It's crazy how fast life can come at you sometimes in football. But RC, let's get a quick thought from you on this, if I can. Now it appears they're going to trade him. What do you think of it, and what do you think some team is getting?
You know what? I think this is a good trade for Carson Wentz more than anything. Listen, I held out on going away from Carson Wentz for a long time because I saw the talent. Also, remember what he looked like in 2017 when I thought he was the best player in football. And so if you can get Carson Wentz back to that, if you can get his confidence up, then you may get a player that looks similar to the Carson Wentz we once knew. And I agree with Dan. That's why Indianapolis is the best place, because it's a place that he doesn't have to play hero ball. It's a place that just had a quarterback right. That they had to protect, and they understand that. And so if you get Carson Wentz with that talent level, with those type of measurables, with that type of talent on the outside in a running game, I think you can get a player that can lead you to a championship.
I have to break on that thought, Dan, but we will come back with more. But I have so much here. And again, Shefty, working the phone. You never know when this thing might wind up breaking on us. But we will take a short break. Back to the Super Bowl next. You know, the peace sign is usually given to calm things down. So why did one from last night get RC so fired up? He'll explain next. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
You are watching Get Up, presented by Indeed. It's time for Ryan Clark to explain his tweet.
Get in the gym, bro. Well, I just got buffalo chicken dip. Baker.
Bruh. Lord.
As everyone laughs at the way I read your tweet. I can't even do it with a straight face. So this is a staple on our Culture Wednesday editions of Get Up. Normally, we go through Ryan Clark's extremely entertaining Twitter feed, and he explains what he meant. Now we have an all Super Bowl edition of Explain Your Tweets, and here comes the first one. Patrick Mahomes is fighting for his life like Jean-Claude Van Damme was when he faced Tong Po in the last fight of Kickboxer. This is brutal. He's on the move with a snap like it was planned. Tampa is all over him. Everything KC gets is Mahomes manufactured. Go ahead, RC, explain that tweet.
Man, I know y'all remember when Jean-Claude Van Damme had to fight Tong Po, and they put the glass on the gloves. It was a fight to the death. That's what it looked like Patrick Mahomes was in last night, whether it was Shaq Barrett, JPP, Vita Vea, and Ndamukong Suh. It seemed like he was catching the snap in the motion. You know that play they kept running in the red zone where he'd catch the snap while already moving? They should have did that last night, and he should have been moving backwards. This Tampa Bay Bucks defense was all over him from start to finish. There will be better days for Patrick Mahomes because they can't get any worse.
Yes, I mean, the defense dominated. I didn't even think he played that badly. You're right. He really almost never had a chance. All right, next tweet. Tom Brady, the player, has three touchdown passes to two players that are only in Tampa Bay because Tom Brady, the GM, brought them there. GOAT Tom Brady is the greatest organization of all time. RC, explain that tweet.
Bro, it's time for us to stop fighting it, Greeny. It's time for us to stop trying to make an argument for other players and say, well, this dude throws the football better, or this dude can do this in the future. Think about this team. Leonard Fournette, Rob Gronkowski, and Antonio Brown scored the touchdowns last night. They weren't even on the team when Tom Brady went there. This team won the game being nothing we thought they would be. Remember, risk it, no biscuit? Remember, yeah. We had all these different things. Godwin, Mike Evans, Cameron Brate, O.J. Howard. We barely said any of those people's names. It was about Tom Brady and the people that came there to play with Tom Brady. He truly is the greatest organization of all time.
And to prove it, he has more Super Bowl championships now than any organization in the NFL.
There you go.
One more RC tweet. I love this one. Bump that. If you can throw the sign and backflip into the end zone, then Winfield should get to do it to you when they are flat out whipping you. If you got to throw the flag on 31, you have to throw the flag on 10 when he's embarrassing folks. I agree with this one. RC, explain that tweet.
Bro, this made me so mad. It's like they don't remember laughing and having fun when Tyreek Hill is running into the end zone, throwing people to deuces. You can't do that. These people just played an excellent game against a team that embarrassed them in the first quarter of week 12. And you mean to tell me after a dude throws the peace sign to me twice, backpedals into the end zone one time, and then backflips in the end zone the next time, you're not going to let me get my get back? That's what life is about. Life is about getting your get back. And if I have to squat down because he's 5'8 and throw him the deuce like this, you got to let me do that. This is my house. Like Devin White said later on in the game, it is my house. And Antoine Winfield, you were owed the opportunity to get your get back, and I'm glad you did, brother.
Yes, I'm with you. And the most important point is, if it's a penalty for a taunting on Winfield, then it should have been a penalty for taunting in the first place. I think you're 1,000% right. All right, RC with the Explain Your Tweets. Well done. Next hour of business. Speaking of business, it's now hiring, which is brought to you by Indeed. And to illustrate a point that you just made, a number of the Bucks' most notable players are now free agents. Names such as Levante David, Leonard Fournette, Rob Gronkowski, among others, all could be looking to be hired now as well. So the question is, will this team run it back? Will Brady and the Buccaneers win it again next year? The odds from Caesars at William Hill actually list them as the third favorite. Kansas City is the favorite, followed by Green Bay, followed by Tampa Bay. What do you think, Neek? Will we be having this conversation about this team again a year from today?
It's hard to figure out why we wouldn't. Like, they are only going to get better with hopefully what seems like a real offseason. I hate to be a prisoner of the moment, but what they show defensively in this playoffs and what we know about Tom Brady, how he's defeated aging. We used to hear Father Time is undefeated. No more. We can't. I don't want anybody to say it anymore, because clearly Father Time is taking L after L after L to Tom Brady.
Sure.
So I have no reason why to believe they won't be at least in a championship game next year, maybe back in the Super Bowl. So it feels like a good bet.
For the record, none of those guys, including Brady, was on the team a year ago today. The Buccaneers opened at 60-1 last year to win the Super Bowl. Obviously, Brady winds up making an enormous difference in that. What do you think, RC? If you had to handicap next year's favorite, who is it?
I'm gonna do it again, Dom. And I know we text about it. And
you're
I know
gonna
we
do
talk
it.
About
I
it.
Told you, man. Don't.
I'm gonna do it
you
again.
You gotta get
man.
Off of that heroin. Mahomes heroin is too much. Get off.
Hey, bro. It be calling me, man. It be calling me. Listen. I'm going to be honest, bro. I'm going to go Kansas City. And I know what I just watched, Greeny. I know what I just watched, and I felt it like everybody else, and I was annoyed, and I wanted a better game, and I never in my life expected that the Kansas City Chiefs wouldn't score a touchdown. But you know what? I'm not going to expect it for 19 games next year either. Every time Patrick Mahomes walks out there, I'm going to think that he has a chance. Now, look at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and you think about that defense, right? Devin White in his second year. You look at the secondary, everybody's 4 years and under. That team is going to be amazing again. But I believe in Patrick Mahomes. And here's going to be the difference. The last year after the Super Bowl, you know what we saw? We saw Patrick Mahomes dancing very badly while out with Travis Kelce at a concert. We saw all of these other things happen. We won't get that this year. It won't be run it back. It's going to be erase that. And so now he's going to be a different dude. We might get the scorched earth tour that you always talk about with Aaron Rodgers. I'm thinking 50 TD Patrick Mahomes shows up next year. So I'm still going Patrick Mahomes. It's not going to change the fact that Brady is the GOAT, but I just like the dude. I think the dude is great. I think the dude is amazing. I ain't never seen nothing like him. He'll be back in this spot next year.
I agree with it. Nick, I have 15 seconds. Some things are excuses, others are reasons. The Chiefs' offensive line was extraordinarily banged up. How big a factor in the game is it last night? If their offensive line is healthy, does it look different?
Oh, yeah, it absolutely looks different. I think Patrick Mahomes is that special. But like I mentioned earlier, I was intoxicated on Patrick Mahomes. I forgot everything I know about football. But the Bucs D-line, they got me clean last night. They cleaned me up, and I see the world for the way that I always saw it to be, that you got to win up front. I don't care how magical your quarterback is. If you can't protect him, you can't win.
He was running for his life basically from the moment it started. All right, we take a short break. We have another hour coming your way. Huge hour of Super Bowl coverage. While Brady was growing his legend, Mahomes was learning a lesson. How important might this loss be for him? We're talking about that and more next.